Let's hear one thing that's working well around you and your body.
I'll start. One thing that is working well around me and my body is snapping into the Queen Latifah attitude and just having a lot more fun with my clothing choices, feeling more comfortable in my body, relaxing into it, and also I got some very interesting health news from my doctor last Thursday and just really jumping into the, this is a temporary indicator and all of it can shift at any point. Even though I spent a day in the pit, it just came right back. So that's where I am.
Well, good. That's excellent. Who's next? What's one thing that's working well with you in your health?
I think one thing that was sort of a breakthrough this week was listening to Patricia Bish and reading that book as well. I really believe in mind-body healing. You scare your knee, you can watch it heal in like 5 minutes, and there's other areas of our body that heal. But I never really thought of this weight issue as a healing, of just allowing the body to heal with that. So that was like a big aha for me, that the body has strong desire just like to heal that scab or that cut, just has strong desire to be at its natural ideal weight, whatever that might be. So a big aha and just more allowing and trusting that my body knows what's right for her.
That's so good. As you all know, I had a baby last week. They say babies heal so quick. They were telling me this because my baby was in ICU when he came out because he had a little vacuum on his head. And I was thinking, you know, it's not that babies heal so quick. It's that he doesn't have any stuff in the way. He doesn't know any different, right? He just comes out of the chute with no preconceived notions. And in fact, I put him on a couch, I think like the second day I was home, thinking babies aren't supposed to turn, right? For at least a couple months. Oh, he turned, and he turned right onto the floor. Now, I had a heart attack, and he wasn't even crying hardly. And my mom's like, Gina, she happened to be here. She goes, don't worry. I dropped you off a piece of furniture, a changing table on a hardwood floor. You were fine. But we don't know any different, right? It's the parent stuff. We go, oh, my God. And so I truly believe it's not babies that heal so quick. If you didn't know any different, your body would return to its natural state always of well-being. It can't help it. And then what happens for us is we make up all sorts of stories around it's hard, or we have to be careful, or what if it gets worse is usually a big one, whether it's weight or we have something else going on. It's like, well, what's the worst that can happen is usually the first place that we go versus, okay, great, now that this has happened, now I'm going to return back to its natural cycle, which is well-being.
Just with the word healing, when I know somebody needs to heal, I'm automatically kinder and more compassionate to that person. And it's like, I'm not always that way to me.
So how have you been since this little discovery with yourself?
I've been in more of a state of delight and wonder and just discovery.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's been great.
That's so good. We'll say this a million times, but this is the same stuff that you would do with anything that you want. You don't even have to focus on well-being for future or focus on, okay, I want to be at a certain weight. If you would just be okay with where you're at and stop resisting where you're at and make it okay, knowing that you are in transition towards well-being, then you would go to well-being. You don't even have to be locked on to exactly what you want. I know I had a client this morning who said, okay, on our next coaching call, all I want to work on is getting consistently in the place of where I want to be with money in my business because I know I go back and forth. She was just really being hard on herself about having to be 100% on believing what she wants all the time or she didn't think she would get it. And that's not true. If you just did it half the time, you'd be fine. But more than that is to just be okay with where you're at. And that's why it's so important as we go through this course to really, I would personally, if I were all of you, be writing down what you are appreciative about around your body. Because there's so much more going right than there is going wrong. All right, I'll get off my soapbox. Who's next?
I have been really eating better in a more healthy manner. I looked at what I was eating the other day, and it just occurred to me that I'm really enjoying it now, where before having the protein and the fruit and the vegetable and trying to be well-balanced wasn't something I wanted. I was more into the cream sauces and the sugars and the sweets and the starches. Now that's not really what I want, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing with just eating lighter.
How did you do that transformation?
I decided at one point when I was in the grocery store that I was just going to buy what I think my body wanted and what would be good for it and to take better care of my body and to respect it. So I came home with all of the fresh fruits and vegetables and decided, well, you know, I'll have a little bit of meat and a little bit of vegetable and a little bit of fruit and that should be it. And then over time, it's become a habit now.
Isn't it interesting when you give yourself permission, you'll just naturally gravitate towards the ideal foods?
Cool.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Last week when I was on another call with Gina and Eva, and one of you mentioned about instead of, oh, how am I going to do this, instead of putting that out to the universe saying, show me how easy this can be. Show me how much fun. So I've been really working on that as a mantra in my head when I start thinking about problem solving, et cetera. I just say, show me how much fun this can be. Show me how easy it can be to feel satisfied eating right, to find foods that I love and that make me healthier, et cetera. So when I start thinking like that, it really changes my whole outlook about everything. I feel so much better. It's fascinating.
That's good. Has anybody else played that game? Look for the evidence. Show me, body, what you can do. Bring it on. Have you ever heard someone talking, let's say, about a sport? Oh, yeah, I can do that so good. It's like, okay, prove it. Show me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll go out and they'll show you. So has anybody played that game with their body?
No, not yet. No.
You could have some fun. But the only trick would be is that you would have to really be unattached. I would start with something that's not critical, not one of your hot topics for this course, not one of your specific goals. Start with something little. Like something that, you know, maybe it's been around for a long time and not a big deal. Like, for instance, I had a few weeks ago, I've had it for a while, just a little skin tag right inside my belly button. Mm-hmm. And I could live with that. It's nothing major. But I kept thinking, oh, I should go get that burned off. Well, because of my state of health and my belly, the way it was looking, there was no belly button anymore. And I said, oh, you know what? I'm just going to put a little bit of oregano essential oil on it. Let's just see what happens. Well, what's funny, I put it on one day, and then my friends came over and they did a body cast of my belly for when it was pregnant. And when they pulled it off, they pulled the skin back off too because everything stuck to my stomach. I'm sure most of my hair on my stomach went too. But what was interesting, I wasn't attached, and I think I'd used oregano on it before and nothing really happened. So you can play the game just like we were talking about earlier around if you stare at a body part, you could regenerate something in 5 minutes or heal something in 5 minutes. What if you just played the game? What if? You do have to be light about it. So start with something that's insignificant, and I would love to hear what happens for each of you if you pick something now and just play with it over the next week. See what shows up. And you're not a failure if nothing does happen because it's just an experiment.
This is perfect for what we were just talking about. What we're going to be talking about today is emotional creation, the chemistry of food, and the chemistry behind feelings and emotions. With that in mind, with what we were just starting the call with, we were discussing the idea of remaining neutral, remaining in observance of that which you wish to change. Now, let's touch on that for a moment, because there's both a role for emotions in creating, and sometimes they can also fall into a spiral of guilt and shame, where we use them to beat ourselves up and to put ourselves in judgment of previous choices. Gina, I'm going to turn this to you for a second. With regards to maintaining a neutral emotion, neutral stance, observation.
Okay. I'm going to give you a great example, too, for those of you who think you can't help it. I know you're on this class to change things, but sometimes we can't help but slide back into old patterns. Part of what's going to be important is when you do slide back into something that you don't like or you feel bad about or it's not what you wanted, is to come back to that place where you just make it right. You just make it okay. Like, you didn't screw up. It's not shame on you. Whether it's I didn't take my medication, I didn't exercise, I didn't eat what I said I was going to eat, I was totally disconnected when I ate every single time this week. It doesn't matter. Make a choice and make it right. And I'll give you an example. I noticed when I was probably in the last trimester, I started getting more stressed. Time was running forward, and I noticed old patterns that I haven't done in years. I was just eating to take breaks. And I didn't like that because I was eating when I wasn't hungry, and what would end up happening, I was just really full. But I did notice it, and I thought, oh, I'm doing that old thing again. Now, I know before what I did is I tried to control that. That's how I tried to change it last time, was to control it and manipulate and tell myself what I should do. So I didn't do that this time. I just made it okay. And I said, okay, so I'm noticing that I'm stressed, and I'm noticing that I'm overeating, and it's hurting my belly. You know, sometimes to the point where if you've ever eaten Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner and you've eaten too much, and you say you're full, and then they bring out dessert, and there's three different kinds of desserts, you still say, well, I'll just take a small slice of each of them. And you think, why did I do that? I just said I was really full. But it's in that moment, if you're going to choose to do it, or you've done it, and then you become conscious, then make it okay. Because you don't want to do that double whammy on yourself where you're already feeling disconnected, so you make a choice, and then you make yourself wrong for it. That's what you're talking about before, being kind to yourself. It's like, how awful is that? It's like constantly getting on a kid. You know, you've seen parents do that. You may have even done it yourself where, you know, clean up your room. And then like, oh, I'll get to it, Mom. Clean it up. And you just keep going, going, going. And all it does is create more resistance. So you just really want to make it okay. Because as soon as you make it okay, guess what's going to happen faster? You're going to get back into alignment. And it doesn't need to affect you. Because remember, all these things you're doing, eating, exercising, choices that you make, these are actions. These are not vibration. These are actions that you take because you think it will serve you. So what if you just made everything right and decided that each thing that you chose served you? And that's a whole different concept.
Brought up a subject with regards to stress and the reaction that you had with regards to stress. And from a scientific standpoint, I wanted to mention in this what goes on in your bodies when you're stressed. And this doesn't need to be just physical stress. This is also emotional stress. Two things start to increase in your body, both adrenaline and cortisol. Now, cortisol is the primary stress hormone. Its role is to increase your blood sugar levels and your glucose levels. It does this by increasing your appetite, increasing cravings for carbohydrates, and also acts as a sedative and can enhance feelings of depression. Now, if that is an emotional state where you tend to overeat or tend to seek comfort, it's no wonder that when you're under stress and stressful emotions and stressful situations, that our go-to is quite commonly eating, if not even overeating. One of the challenges then is to, and it can be done very easily, is if you want, if you find yourself in the habit of what Gina was just talking about, maintaining a state where you're not blaming yourself, perhaps it might also help to think about maybe shifting into ways that you feel good about dealing with the stress in your life.
How do you shift into other things that take you out of stress? What do you mean by that?
One of the things that I think we tend to do, and we were just talking about this, is we take things personally. We tend to judge ourselves when we find our actions are not in line with what we wish to create. And we find ourselves in this emotional loop that is challenging to break ourselves out of and reinforces old patterns and old behaviors, themselves being habits that we have created. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the chemistry of addiction, which is basically what we're doing with our emotions. If you find yourself still falling into patterns of blaming yourself for your actions and still a little bit of a challenge to maintain a neutral emotional state, instead of looking at it from a personal standpoint, look at your environment. Look at the situations, perhaps, that are creating your feelings of stress. And perhaps direct your attention and your focus on those areas so that you can lessen the actual sources of stress and, of course, then your feelings of stress and then, of course, the reactions that you're having to the stress with the increased cortisol.
Here tends to be my cycle, which I think is very common, feel stress about different things and then eat and then feel upset about having eaten too much and then eat more and then feel more stressed about it, and, you know, that cycle. And I found like the last few days I've been off sugar and just been eating healthier, which I feel a lot better when I do that health-wise, my body does, but I'm also in emotional right now because I just feel much more emotional at the same time. So it's this really kind of frustrating thing in a way. I've been doing things like taking yoga classes and walks, and that helps a lot. It's just still the one of my big life things.
When you say you feel more emotional, do you mean since you've changed your diet, or you just feel emotional in general right now?
Since changing my diet.
Because since you're not numbing yourself, is that what that means?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, since I'm not using food, which is my thing, it stuffs my feelings.
No more heroin down the throat.
Exactly. Like you talked about, oh, on Thanksgiving, it's like, oh, you mean on Sunday night?
So what do you want to do with your emotions?
I want to feel them. I don't want them to be running me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. If you don't want them to run you, the best thing you can do and the fastest way through it is to just experience them and make space for that. So instead of judging them and going, oh, my gosh, I'm such a mess, or whatever you say to yourself, or, ooh, I don't want to feel this way, why not be with it? In fact, I would just sit down and create space, meaning take 5-10 minutes out and ask yourself, what am I feeling? Name something that you think you're feeling when the emotions come up.
Anger and self-pity.
Okay. Why do you feel angry?
I'm angry at my family. I feel like I'm kind of a black sheep and can't get that turned around.
Okay. So then the next step would be okay with being angry and have it be okay that it's not turned around. You got to make it all okay. Because by the way, folks, whatever you're judging yourself around health, guarantee it's not stemming from your health. It's somewhere else too, just like we're talking about. Would it be okay to just know that even this with your family is in transition, but for right now, this is where it's at? You may not be the black sheep, you may be the black sheep, but for right now, this is just where it's at, and it's not where you want it. Can that be okay?
Yeah, and I feel like it has to be, or else I'll be stuck forever just using food. I'm just so tired of doing that. I'm hurting myself like that.
So here's my request. Make whatever emotion that you're experiencing and the cause behind it, it's good to identify it because then you can say, okay, now I know where it's coming from, and let me make that okay too. You don't have to do anything about it. In fact, that is your specific homework this week. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fix anything. You don't have to fix your eating. You don't have to do it better. You don't have to fix any of the emotional stuff. You just get to be right and okay with wherever you're at. So you're just going to be constantly soothing. Can you imagine? That's just full permission, just to be where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Like Byron Katie says, wherever you're at is where you need to be. How do you know? Because that's where you're at.
Catch 22.
But see, you're making it a catch 22 by judging that it's bad.
Yeah.
It's kind of what all of you do around whatever health condition. You make yourself wrong about it. Stop making yourselves wrong. Make it okay. Because what will happen, I promise you, even if it takes a month, and a month's nothing because most of you have been dealing with the same issues for a long time, so a month, piece of cake. In a month's time, if you just consistently stopped resisting where you're at, whether it was emotional or just frustrated about the health issue itself not moving or shifting, you will start seeing results. I promise you something will change. And it will be for the better, and it will be significant. Do it for a month, just a month. Because like David said, when you are stressed or feeling bad, you are creating so many triggers firing off in your body, which just intensifies it. So you have that going on. And then law of attraction says, wherever you focus, to get more of. So when you get frustrated, you go, oh, I did it again. Mm-hmm. Law of attraction can't help it serving you up. But again, those cravings, the same self-sabotaging thoughts, like, wait a minute, I didn't want to be here. Well, good, then get your attention off of it, because if you don't, you're just going to get more of it. You don't even have to think positive thoughts.
You know, that brings up a point. I wanted to send this out to everybody. Are you okay with feeling all emotions? Do you tend to label emotions as good and bad? Strive to not feel anger, not feel sadness, not feel fear, as those are invalid. Those are not feelings you're supposed to have. When in reality, feelings are just feelings. They're there for a reason. And I think in our struggles and efforts to mask them or run away from them or not be with them, as we were just talking about, and being okay with just being with them, I think we accidentally reinforce them because that is where our attention is and that's what we're fighting against. Do you find that you're uncomfortable with being with, lack of a better way of putting it, uncomfortable emotions, uncomfortable feelings?
Of course, that's why they're called uncomfortable, right?
Yep. Yeah.
David, I think there's been some training in change your state, change your emotions, stuff like that, to the point that I know with myself as well. I've been trying to pay attention to my feelings when I eat, and it's like, well, I don't even know what I'm feeling. So try and discover that a little bit more. But a phrase keeps coming up that my brother says all the time, that everything works out in the end, and if it's not worked out, it's not the end yet. Mm-hmm. And then I think with this, I can't say I'm doing all the healthy choices or no sugar, but some foods don't have as much of a hold on me as they did. I love pizza. Pizza in the Chicago area is just really, really good. And I love pizza, but I'm a lot more neutral to it now. And where I did have some, but it's just like, oh, a piece or so, or I didn't have to go buy some and make sure I had some in the freezer. And then I have fudge that I make for friends for gifts and things, but I still have some in the freezer. And it's like, I noticed it was in there, and I ended up, instead of going for the fudge, I cleaned my freezer out. Because I had stuff from like a year ago that it's like, if I haven't eaten it yet, I'm not going to. And I thought, hey, I guess I realized I didn't open the freezer because I was hungry. I opened the freezer because boredom or something else. You know, and I really wasn't hungry, so I filled up a garbage bag full of stuff to just throw out.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking here about the feelings and emotions, and there's two aspects that we were dealing with here, both up to date, the tie-ins that we've made with specific emotions to specific foods, and then the overall concept of way we've attached emotions, and because of their repeated feelings of them and experience of them, we have literally created a dependency, an addiction. There are certain emotions that over the course of our lives that we have repeatedly felt, and as we talked about in the early stages of this, I think in the first couple classes, about how we can create physical habits, and through the repetitive nature of physical motion, we actually hardwire our brains to repeatedly be able to make those actions more efficient in the future. We do the same with our emotions. As you feel an emotion, your brain releases certain chemicals. Those chemicals, as we've talked about, create certain issues with regards to your body, how your body reacts to food, how your body reacts to physical exercise, how you even feel. As you repeat that behavior, as you repeat those emotions, the wiring of that becomes more efficient, just like learning how to walk. Each time that you feel the emotion, it reinforces itself and it builds neural pathways, again, just so that your body can feel the emotion again. Now, unfortunately, your body doesn't necessarily differentiate between what is a good feeling and what is an uncomfortable feeling. All it knows is that this is something that has happened repeatedly, and it's going to create processes to make it more efficient and makes it easier for you to feel it again. That's why especially the challenges that a lot of people face in changing behaviors and emotions around food are probably the strongest and most challenging to change. It can be done, but have patience with yourself.
So go based on that information alone, you know, should cut yourself a break. I mean, it's almost like you're set up to be a little challenged when it's going downhill. So give yourself a break so that you can course correct. You got both law of attraction and how the body's working. They're both geared to go where you've been going. I mean, that's just the way it's designed. And that's a great thing because when things are going good, we want them to continue going good. So in the transition, you have to be extra kind because it may take longer than you think. Sometimes you can make that decision. My dad made a choice, you know, I'm just going to stop drinking. Mm-hmm. And he stopped drinking. It was just a moment in time. But sometimes it's not that easy. You're not at that state where it's like enough is enough. You know, you're frustrated, but you're not at, that's it. You know, I'm going to put on my red cowboy boots and kick some butt on this. You're not there. So if you're not there, you really got to be kind to yourself because that's the only way it's going to work. So, David, where should we go next?
I wanted to touch on very quickly the aspects of certain foods and certain emotions. I think everyone on this call has certain go-to foods that we use when we feel certain emotions or we use to hide behind or make ourselves comfortable. And just as we are talking about emotions creating a chemistry that creates reinforcement for repeatedly feeling those emotions, the same thing happens with specific foods. Again, through repeated use, then, of course, the tie-in to the emotions themselves, we're really reinforcing a feedback loop. You're thinking a thought. Your body is creating a chemistry that is causing a reaction in your body. Your body then sends signals back to the brain saying, okay, we need you to continue this so we can continue the physical action. It's not just the feeling leading to the food. It's the food leading back to the feeling. It's literally a loop that you are creating here. So you may think a thought and go to that pizza or whatever it is, your go-to food. But even as you're making changes here, be aware that in perhaps in the early stages of this, even though you're making some progress, when you go to eat that food, even if you're in a better emotional state, don't be too surprised if all of a sudden, once you've eaten that food, you find a little voice in the back of your head. It's like that old emotion coming back up. It's the body still trying to work off that old loop. Just be conscious of that and reinforce a different emotion. Literally make yourself think a different emotional thought. Even if you can maintain a neutrality, try to even remove emotional state altogether. Be aware that the food that you have the emotional tie into is in itself going to create an emotional state in the early stages of this. So don't be too surprised by that.
There's two things going on here. One is we're asking you to become more in touch with what you are feeling, because most people check out when they eat. And then there's the judgment part about what you're eating. So there's two dynamics, but both of them end up in some emotional state. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, you knew that we're talking about two different things, but the result is both end up in an emotional state and sometimes not always in the positive. I also wanted to open the door. I don't think that we've talked about this much. Does anybody have any questions about food in general and diet?
The only thing that comes up for me, maybe everybody else is the same way, that I feel like I know everything about nutrition and diet because I've dealt with it for so many years dealing with this, but it's just that whole relationship with the law of attraction thing of you can eat whatever you want and maintain a healthy weight and healthy body, et cetera. Those beliefs that certain things are healthier, and that's what we hear all the time. So, Gina and David, what are your beliefs around that?
I'll speak for myself and then David can speak. I believe if you're feeling good about something, it's going to do your body good, no matter what it is. I was water skiing when I was 8 months pregnant, and I felt okay about it. And when it was time to stop, I stopped because I just couldn't get up anymore. But if somebody else went out and thought it was bad for them, they would probably end up getting hurt or something crazy would happen and they wouldn't feel good about it, or not. They might, something bad might not happen, but they would end up feeling bad about it. And it wouldn't feel good. So it's really however you're going to feel about the food. We don't recommend that you just go out and, you know, hey, ladies, go eat whatever the heck you want. Guys, drink as many beers as you want. How about it? Because most people emotionally aren't ready for that. What will happen is they'll go and do that thing, and then they'll have the same results that they've been having. Some people can drink and not get drunk. Some people can drink a lot and not gain weight. But it's because they're okay with it. You probably all know someone who's been smoking their whole life and they've lived to be 100. And it's mostly because those people didn't trip out with the fact that they were smoking. So it really is about, I believe, you can eat anything you want. And if you feel great about it, it's going to work for you. And if you don't, you're going to have all kinds of stuff. It could be anything from heartburn to weight gain.
So there's a difference in it making you feel good and feeling good about the food.
Yes. Yeah. Because we're not talking go eat the ice cream to numb something and then feel bad. It's like it's got to feel good before, during, and after. There's no buyer remorse here. You know, it's like if you're going to go out and buy yourself a new pair of shoes, feel great about the new pair of shoes before, during, and after. You don't want to be one of those people that brings them home and thinks, oh, I can't believe I spent that much on the shoes, but I loved them. And then you go, oh, I should take them back. And you can't enjoy them now. And that's what a lot of you are doing around food. Mm-hmm. Heck, I used to do it all the time, too. You just have to feel good about it. I had this aha, by the way, the other day. It's not about food, but it's something similar. There's the big discussion when you have a baby about all sorts of things with your partner. And, you know, my partner and I definitely don't see eye to eye on most things around these sorts of choices. So you have the choices of circumcision or not circumcision, vaccines, no vaccines, all these things. Well, he's really big on vaccines, and I'm really not. And I don't want vaccines of any sort. I don't believe my baby needs them, because all you're looking for is to prevent something. If it makes you feel better, though, that's also what you have to do. And it's going to make him feel better. And he thinks I'm so far out in left field. Like, what are you, nuts? You know, no vaccines, the kid could get this, this, and this. And if you go to the hospital, they will scare you into anything. I mean, they're handing us papers going, if you don't get this vaccine, your baby could get hepatitis B, then it's going to be cancer. And he's like, oh, my God, give it to him right now. For God's sake, don't let him leave the hospital without it. My big aha was, because at first I was pushing back going, look, do a little research, then make your choice. We don't need to make it right now. But then I thought, you know what? If this makes him feel better, then my intention can be for my baby, and I'm still not going to just go, hey, go get him every vaccine. I'll say, here's what I'm okay with, here's what I'm not, even though I'd prefer none, is I've decided that if we get vaccines, his body will use what it needs and get rid of the rest, and that he'll be fine. Before I realized when I was pushing back that it was totally out of fear. I was doing the same thing as him. I was afraid if he got the vaccines that it would be bad for him and he was going to be hurt and he was going to put a needle in him and what are the effects of the vaccines. I've heard horror stories. So, and essentially, I was doing the same thing. Don't give it to him because I think something bad's going to happen. And he's saying give it to him so something bad doesn't happen. So my intention completely shifted. So now that his body can use whatever he wants and he probably would have anyways. I'm not making his decisions for him. So it's the same with food. So if you're going to eat it and you're going to make it, we're going back to make it right. If you can just intend, and this is what in Patricia Bish's book around freedom from food, she talks about this. It's just really having the intention that whatever you put into your body will use what it needs and discard the rest. So that's another way that you can get through that transition period where you're not fully behind whatever you eat. When I was pregnant, I was behind everything I ate. And people constantly, they'd be pouring champagne or wine, and they'd say, oh, yeah, but you're not drinking. I said, no, you can pour me a glass of wine. And sometimes I didn't drink wine. I usually would drink wine. Normally, if I'm not pregnant, I would drink wine with every single dinner, maybe a glass, maybe two. And I felt okay about it, though. I've heard some mothers, they have drinks before they know they're pregnant, and then they just feel so horrible, and what did I do to my baby? So it's really about being kind to yourself in the transition and don't expect, if you can't get to that place where you just know everything's okay with your health, then it's baby steps. Mm-hmm. So it's not about controlling what you do. It's about making it right even once you do it. Mm-hmm. Now, David, what's your belief on food and law of attraction and everything's good that you put in your body?
You know, it's funny, being a trainer and a coach and involved with nutrition, when people talk with me, they always think that that's really going to be my approach to things, that that is going to be my first go-to. In reality, when you've been hearing Gina and I talk, it isn't so much about the diet and the exercise. It's about your thoughts and your emotions. And it's from that that drives not only how our body reacts to movement and to the foods that we eat, but it also has a lot to do with what we're attracted to. When we talk about law of attraction, we talk about energy attracting energy. And when you are at a low energy emotional state, whether it's anger or fear or blame or whatever it is, you're going to be attracted to low energy foods and low, if any, action. You cannot manifest, attract anything different than the energy and the emotional state that you're currently holding. And I always tell folks, again, this is not necessarily an exercise that I want you to expect to be perfect in or to really make a huge struggle, but when you find yourself in an emotional state and you find yourself opening that refrigerator or that cupboard or driving to that drive-thru or something for some solace in trying to combat that emotion, instead of sitting there and struggling about what you want to buy and what kind of food to have, start thinking about what kind of emotion you want to experience. Start raising your emotion. And again, just baby steps. Just find the next one that feels a little bit better. If you're really feeling sad, make a statement of gratitude about something. Do or say or feel something that feels a little bit better. And you're going to find over time that you're going to be making higher energy food choices and different actions that are now going to match a higher level of energy. You cannot have high energy and make low choices or low energy and make high choices. It just doesn't follow that way, at least if it does, certainly not on a consistent or easy basis whatsoever. I think wholeheartedly, I firmly believe in our ability to create different chemistries, even eating the same foods, but it goes back to our thoughts about it. I've heard this so many times. I can't understand. This person is eating everything under the planet. It's not gaining a pound. How can that be? Different thought, different emotional state that person is holding. And I have found even in my own experience, those times when I'm feeling a little down or a little low energy, I'm going to tend to overeat. I'm going to make what I would call my own little comfort food choices. And when I find that I am bringing myself up to a higher level of emotion, a higher level of thought, all of a sudden I'm making better choices with regards to food. I'm filling up faster. It doesn't take anywhere near as much food for me to feel full anymore. And I feel like moving. I feel like expressing that higher energy. For me, that's in the form of physical exercise. But again, that isn't necessarily a must either. I just, from my own state, follow what I feel intuitively is a match for my thoughts and my emotions. So by all means, I wholeheartedly agree. So that's one of the experiences that I ask people to make, is instead of fighting with yourself over what foods to have and what choices to make, and from that the blame and all the struggle that we make of it, instead find a better feeling, find a better emotion, and then see what follows. And I think you'll be surprised. If this doesn't happen perfectly every time, that's okay too. This is not about perfection, okay? So, again, look at this as just some play for right now. Have some fun with it.
The other thing you can play with, because I'm going to start playing with this, I had discussed with David when we first started talking about creating this class, and we were talking about how different foods affect you. I said there were certain foods that gave me heartburn, and I couldn't decipher which one it actually was. I couldn't pinpoint it, but I actually think I've narrowed it down to garlic. Now, I love anything with garlic in it. In fact, the stronger, the better. And the other food that does it for me is salmon. Now, as I was sitting here actually listening to David, I had this other little aha about these two foods that give me heartburn. I have resistance to both of them in a couple of ways. One is my boyfriend's always told me, Gina, when you eat the garlic, it comes through your pores. Gosh, you know, don't eat so much garlic. So I became more aware of the garlic I was eating. Because before that, I don't think I had a resistance to garlic or even noticed heartburn with it. And as for salmon, if my boyfriend could have me make it every day, he would. And so I kind of got sick of salmon. Like, it kind of ticked me off that I had to make salmon so much, because I'm thinking, I don't want this every night. Once a month is great. So I'm going to start playing with having a different reaction to those foods, because I don't need to keep having heartburn, especially with the garlic, since I love it. But it's interesting, these little things that you hear create the resistance, then you have negative impacts from eating that food. So I, too, am playing with this. So we have a few minutes left, and I just want to check in. Does anybody need anything, or what's going on with you guys as you've been listening to us?
So it's just all food then is equal. Is that right? Like, if you were choosing bread or anything, you're not trying to make yourself choose kibbled bread or anything else because it's better. And you're not trying to have vitamins because you have to balance the food because it's all been depleted by the artificial fertilizers or anything like that. So you're not trying to create balance in your body yourself in any way?
If it feels good, that's the trick. There's nothing concrete. It's like, I buy organic food because it makes me feel better. But if I eat food that's not, and I know it's probably been sprayed a billion times, I don't think it's going to have any ill effect on me either.
If I can add to this too, because this is one of the biggest issues that people have, I think, with regards to law of attraction and eating and all this kind of stuff, it has to follow your belief. Like for me, my belief right now is I need vitamins and minerals, and I take a vitamin mineral tablet every day. But I'm also understanding that for other people, they may not need that. But because my belief and my thought is that I need it. I've created the chemistry and the need for that. Same thing with certain foods. Because of my background, I do have a belief, personally, a belief about some foods that I feel are better for me than others. And those times that I eat the foods that I don't think are quite as good for me, I do find, you know, next thing I know, I've gained a pound or two. It follows your belief system. If your thoughts and your beliefs are not quite there yet where you can remain totally neutral and eat anything you want and see progress, then I don't recommend that you go that particular route yet. Just open up to the idea or the possibility for that for you. But always act and make choices from where your belief is right now.
Let me add something really quick. We once had Esther Hicks from Abraham Hicks on our radio show, and someone came on and we were taking callers, and someone asked about addiction. I can't remember what kind of addiction. I think it was alcohol. But their reply was really interesting, and what they said, it's the same thing around food, is that your body, what happens is when you introduce a substance to it, your body will adapt. As soon as you introduce that new substance, like if you've never had sugar before, you know, you're a baby, you get fed breast milk, and then you start introducing solid foods, and then you have your first hit of sugar, right? Sugar's new. It's like, oh, the body doesn't know what to do with it. So it actually adapts to that, like David was saying. And then what you feel is a craving is actually your body adapting to it. So you think, ooh, I want more. And that's not necessarily what's going on. That's actually an emotional trigger. And within 3 days, they said that your body could adapt to getting off that substance, whatever it was, whether it was heroin or it could be sugar or it could be carbs, that after 3 days, your body has adapted without that substance. You no longer will have cravings, physical cravings. If you do, they will only be emotional. Mm-hmm. So it's just another way of what David was saying around, you know, your body adapts to what you put into it, and then it will call for more. And then it's like you have to get unhooked from everything, even vitamins, because your body will crave it. Mm-hmm. Your body will need it. But all it takes is 3 days. And I thought, 3 days? Ooh, that's cool. Most of us could live through 3 days, depending. Yeah. Depending on how much you need that hit of whatever it is.
So all the different beliefs that I've worked on to try to make my choices better around food, that I've worked with my beliefs to reverse them, are not necessarily the best ones. They're just because I've heard or read all this stuff and think, oh, I better do that. So,
yep.
But to change them, I'm going to have to change my belief system again to make it new.
Yes, if it's not currently working for you. All it is relaxing. You might even still end up making the same food choices. Because what happens is we're so used to trying to control, okay, well, if I do this, it's good for me. So you train yourself that this is good for you. And then you're not really even sure, do I really love it or not, to this is what I eat. So, yes, you may end up eating all the same foods. Like, I still love to go and juice fast, and I still love to eat. You know, one of my favorite meals is steamed rice, veggies, and, like, chicken in there. And it's not because it's good for me. It's because I just love it. But in the beginning, guess what? I ate it because it was low fat, and that's why I chose it. If you're open to observing and really tapping into what feels good, then you really know what feels good to you. One of my favorite quotes from Abraham Hicks is, food, good. That's it. Food,
well,
good.
I heard them say on a tape last month, there's nothing wrong in seeking comfort in food as long as that's not the only thing you're seeking comfort in or something like that.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I've had when I relax, like you say, Gina, because I have found that I guess I do go back to the control. I've never thought of it as control. But when I'm not controlling it in some way, I don't know where I'm at, and that affects the rest of my life as well. I find it really hard to adjust the fact that I'm not controlling something. Like, sounds awful, doesn't it?
No, I totally understand. I completely understand. I didn't know I tried to control everything either, so I tried to start paying attention. I worked with a coach for 3 months to have me be in the moment, and I thought, boy, I have just entered hell. Because I'm so used to trying to control the outcome of everything, but I just thought I was motivated and a go-getter. I thought it was doing the right thing.
Well, that's brilliant. It's horrible.
It's funny because recently I had someone share with me that they felt that I was a control enthusiast. Said, you know what, a lot, because this person studied with Abraham as well and said, that's a great way to start softening the position and soothing it through, but I know I have a lot to learn, Gina, too, in that exact way. Just, oh, my gosh. Like, let it go.
Yeah. Everything's disguised. A fun way is poking fun. When people poke fun at your dark side, and I know that people used to poke fun and call me the integrity police because I thought I was doing the right thing, but they're like, Gina, you are so anal about it. Everything's got to be in alignment. We always have to do the right thing. You got to play by the rules. It's like, then you're a Nazi. And I'm like, oh, really? I thought I was being integrous by being in the integrity police. I thought that was the right thing to do. But how you know you're trying to control, you know that feeling. You're trying to push or you're doing something really out of fear. And it's so disguised sometimes by being responsible or doing the right thing. So have an open mind as you go through your week observing. Is there any other exercises that we want them to do over the next week, David?
At the start of your day, find something to appreciate about your body. Start from the top of your head, work your way down. Find something. Stay in appreciation of that. That's your first step every morning when you wake up. The other thing that we think might be helpful for you this week, and it ties into what we've been talking about as far as emotions go, instead of sitting and trying to do a diet journal, make an emotional thought journal. Track your emotions this week, your emotional states and your feelings. And keep a journal of that. Not necessarily to reinforce them, not to say they're good or bad or to be in judgment of them, but just simply to record them. And we will probably touch on that, I'm sure, when we start the call next week.
And whatever you do, make yourself right this week. Make it okay. Be light. Pretend like there's no boundaries, there's no rules, because that's the way it should be. It's like summer vacation when you were a kid. Go have fun.